Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 102 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, I know you said you had a quiet week before we got started, but how has it been?
I have been, thanks for asking, a typing cat gif, working away on my unofficial guides, books coming out a little later this year, trying to get them all wrapped up. Every time I am close to the finish line, Disney changes something, releases some other little bit of information. I gotta go and do more edits. But I did have a genuine theme park miracle happen to me this week.
Ooh.
You know, the skies opened up, angel of light shined down, and I was able to get a Rise of Resistance boarding pass at like 2 in the afternoon. They're gone by 1 p.m. and 1 second. The wait times have been so low in the parks that it's actually enjoyable right now. I expect that all to end with Halloween coming in. Crowds will be coming back, but man, if you can plan a visit to Orlando in those last 2 weeks of August, do it. Other than the heat and humidity, as you can see me sitting here in my office wiping my brow, I don't have my fan on, so you know it won't make noise, so you'll see me schwitzing throughout the show tonight. But yeah, if you can hit Orlando the last 2 weeks of August, man, it's the wait times are incredible. How was your week?
My week was good. I also had a quiet week. No theme parks on my end, but I watched a few movies.
Oh.
I did watch the new Bob Ross documentary.
Yeah.
On Netflix, which was oof.
Oh yeah.
Heavy.
I mean, I've heard great things about the documentary, but the story is so depressing.
Yes, it's
I remember
so
reading about that maybe 6 months or a year ago. Probably the same kind of stuff that went into the documentary, and it's such a sad story about people squabbling over over his stuff after he's died.
Yeah, and I mean, for those who haven't tuned in before, my boyfriend is working on a documentary, so that's like all we watch for reference. And it was really interesting. They didn't have any reenactment footage like some documentaries do. Instead, they had paintings of the reenactment scenes, which was really neat. So we've just been watching a ton of documentary stuff to get ideas for what he's working on. And I watched Annette, which was just put on Amazon Prime.
Just reading about that in the New York Times today, and that's on my wish list.
It's very
thumbs
weird.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Was it worth your time?
Yeah, I liked it. Josh didn't like it, but
I love
weird musical theater. Yeah. And
but
Adam Driver is like
very divisive,
unhinged, absolutely unhinged. He's one of my favorite actors right now. So I'm all for it. And Sparks did the music for it, which was cool if you've heard of that band before. But other than that, nothing too crazy has happened. It's been kind of chill here right now, at least. It's also been hot here as well, so staying inside.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
stay
well,
cool.
Without any further ado, let's get into the news. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
First up, something visual for you audio listeners out there. This past week, we got a brand new piece of concept art for the Princess and the Frog retheme of Splash Mountain.
Yeah, I want to. I don't know if you can really break this down and figure out whether it's where it's literally within the ride, or if this is just sort of inspirational art. I was trying to figure out, you know, where that might replace in the current Splash Mountain ride. But it's clear that, you know, we're still going to have a bayou, we're still going to be floating on logs through a swamp, but instead of characters from Song of the South, we've got Tiana and other characters from Princess and the Frog. There's a video that goes along with this piece of concept art, which is really interesting. It's actually a pretty long and in-depth discussion about the process behind developing the new attraction. It's worth, if you've got 20, 30 minutes, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is all we've seen besides, like, the announcement piece of mm-hmm. concept art and this. And I really hope we get Tion in this outfit with, like, the pants and, like, the right. adventurer style look. That's yeah. so cool in comparison to, like,
you the don't want to wear a ball gown into a swamp. It's a bad fashion choice.
Well, especially something like Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
And I just get, like, kind of the Little Mermaid dark ride vibes with this image,
I've absolutely, the first thing I thought when I saw that picture was that it was the Kiss the Girl scene from the Little Mermaid dark ride. Might be some of the same people who worked on that working on this, who knows. But yeah, I mean, I'm being patient on this one. I saw some people talking on the interwebs this week complaining because some person had a rumor that there were going to be a lot of animatronics, that was all going to be video projections. I don't think that's true. I think there are going to be video projections. They're probably going to use video to extend the sets the way they've been doing in a lot of new rides. But there's definitely going to be animatronics, and hopefully the animatronics will actually work, unlike most of the animatronics that are in the ride now.
I mean, I don't want to be too hopeful here, but look to the more recent boat rides that Disney has produced, like Pirates in Shanghai,
mm-hmm.
where that has a combination of animatronics and yeah. physical sets and screens.
You're not going to have the dozens or hundreds of animatronics, but the ones that are there are going to make an impression.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're going to do that.
Yeah, and especially you're not going to see like a super advanced Lewis animatronic if he's going to be submerged in water, but
I don't know, those hippos at the Jungle Cruise can wiggle
true.
Their ears. That's pretty advanced technology.
If I don't see him playing trumpet on the boat at the end of the ride, I'm going to call the manager.
That's a big question. I mean, it seems obvious that you would keep the big river boat and just swap out the characters on it, but maybe there'll be a whole different finale. Who knows? We just don't know.
Yeah, Brian in the chat said future ideas, Dr. Facilier Halloween layover. Splash has never had anything Halloween related. We don't really get Halloween overlays at
Walt Disney World. That ain't happening. Disneyland, that would be great, but if you had a Dr. Facilier Splash Mountain right next to the Nightmare Before Christmas Haunted Mansion, that would basically tip the whole park over. Everyone would just go on that side and just flip the whole park upside down. It would be a disaster.
That's not to say I don't want something like that.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that sounds... I love the whole Dr. Facilier thing.
I would not be shocked. Well, this takes place after the movie, so
yeah.
Dr.
So
Facilier has been... Right. But Disney villains always come back for the rides and somehow, you know, they'll find some way. If not him, then the spirits from the other side. Maybe that's what the laughing place will be. Who knows?
Well, yeah, you can't have, like, I mean, it basically writes itself. The, like, slow, like, lift hill with mm-hmm. the spirits on the other side, like, boom, 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 going up. If
they need to hire you.
Hire me.
Yeah, there you go.
I can vaguely describe things that I feel like people would like.
No, I think they have a lot of really talented people working on this, as you can see if you watch that video that's attached to the article. Not that you're not really talented too, but I think they got this one covered.
Yes. They also had a New Orleans artist commissioned to paint a series of inspirational art pieces, and this is one of them. If you're listening to the audio version, head over to attractionsmagazine.com to check it out. But it needs to be hung up in like Port Orleans or something.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, gorgeous, really colorful, whimsical, kind of stylized take on it.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't leave out that they are also making a pretty sizable donation of $50,000 to the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. That will go to support everything from culinary arts to dance and, of course, jazz music.
If you've never been to New Orleans, it's really something else. It's magical. But our thoughts are with everybody down there right now with the...
Stay safe. Stay dry.
Next up, if you're a fan of the Disney Store retail experience, I would go before now? September 15th.
Yeah, and maybe sooner than 15th, because some of the stores are closing even earlier than that. Don't wait.
Yeah, because basically every full retail experience, not the outlets for now, but basically all of the full-size standalone brick and mortars and the ones in like malls and things are going to be closing over the next month.
Yeah, the headline here says that nearly all the store locations in Florida, but this is something that's happening across the country. I know the Disney store in the mall closest to where I grew up in New Jersey is closing. You know, when I was in high school and I was, you know, coming down to Orlando for a vacation was just a dream. The Disney store was like a pretty major connection. You know, it was a place that was accessible and that you could go in and kind of get a little taste of that Disney magic. And I don't know, going to a corner of a Target doesn't seem quite as magical to me. but, you know, it'll be a lot more locations. We know that malls overall are dying, and from a financial sense, you know, this is just another sign that Disney is doubling down on Shop Disney and their retail partnerships instead of, you know, trying to go it alone.
Yeah, I mean, this is just yet another tenet of Bob Chapek's current drive to online e-commerce and direct-to-consumer stuff with Disney Plus and all of that. And I actually went to one of the Target Shop and Shops when they first opened after D23 2019, I think was when that was first announced. And I gotta be honest, it looks great in this photo here. It was absolutely destroyed when I went. And I went the day it opened.
Yeah.
I went the day it opened. It was like a very small footprint in the middle of the store. I had to drive like 45 minutes out of Austin to even get to it.
Right, I remember. Yeah, because they're only in a few locations.
And it was, I mean, it was cool, but it was like a lot of toys and costumes, not so much like home goods that you might find at like your traditional Disney stores or whatever. But it really didn't feel any different than like the toy aisles that Target already has.
Yeah. I mean, here in Orlando, it's not a big deal. You know, it's closing a local mall. I think the Florida Mall was probably the last Disney store in the area. But we can just drive to, you know, Disney World Springs and go to World of Disney there. But for, you know, a lot of people, I know this is going to be a big blow. Definitely one less reason to go to their local mall.
Yeah. We still have, in Round Rock, I think there's a Disney store outlet. I've only been to it once. But I wonder how long those will last. Because I checked, like, California, Florida, and Texas were the three specific states I checked, because obvious reasons. And it seemed like the outlets were safe for now, but who knows how long that will be. And the outlet at the Vineland outlets wasn't even mentioned in Florida's list. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but keep an eye on this if you are a fan of the Disney store, or if you don't live near Disneyland or Walt Disney World, and this is your only connection to a kind of parks adjacent experience, go before they're gone, because the Target ones, as convenient as they are, it's not the same. Over at Universal Orlando, they have officially opened up their tribute store, and with it comes some very delicious food.
Yes. They have really gone all out this year. Both desserts, you know, they've been doing sweets for years, and also, you know, alcoholic drinks. Obviously, that's always been a big part of Halloween Horror Nights. But this is the first year they've really done a lot of savory foods, and also had foods specifically inspired by the different haunted houses. I don't know whether it is psychotic or just pure genius that they have Texas Chainsaw Massacre-themed barbecue.
I love it.
It's
disgusting.
It does. It does, and I cannot wait to get it. I'm very excited about that. There's a lot of stuff that looks really good. Almost like they're bringing some of the Mardi Gras food festival over to Halloween Horror Nights, but definitely with a kind of over the top. A lot of the ingredients, you know, when you've got, it's not enough to have bacon, not enough to have candied bacon, but it's got to be candied bacon in bourbon. You know, like Jack the Clown. Hamburger served on top of two glazed donuts, bourbon glazed donuts, no less.
Yes.
I don't know.
I know.
Jack the Clown. Jack the Clown is a friend of mine. Jack the Clown's cardiologist does not want him eating Jack the Clown's donut slider, because that, I mean, that you will have a heart attack in the haunted house, not because it is so scary, but just because your arteries are clogged.
I think a heart attack is like the least of Jack Schmidt's problems. But there are some really exciting options on here, and I'm honestly kind of jealous that I don't have plans to come to Horror Nights just because I want to eat the food. There's like pumpkin guts, and this is a vegan
that's
zucchini.
Actually the one I'm most excited to try. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, sautéed spinach, butternut squash noodles. I love that. With a hazelnut brown butter. And, you know, when you're trying to escape from zombies and killer maniacs, you want to eat light. You know,
yeah.
You don't want to be weighed down with a lot of, you know, fat and grease. You want to, you know, feel healthy.
Oh, well, speaking of feeling healthy, there is a bourbon candied pork belly.
I warned you.
Inspired by Revenge of the Tooth Fairy, and I'm sure you've seen on social media all of the various food stands going up that mm-hmm. are themed to the houses this year, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, I took a walk around the parks just a couple days ago, and this is really, it's not quite on the level of the food kiosks that they have for food and wine over at Epcot, but really way beyond any food booth that Universal has done before. I really like the Beetlejuice one,
yes.
Which has that kind of crooked look of the Beetlejuice production design. And then, you know, there's various... what I love was they've got at the Texas Chainsaw booth the Wee Slaughter, which is from the original film. It's a sign on the gas station there. And... you know, there's like in the prices on the gas pump, there's a reference to 1974, which is the year the movie came out, and just all sorts of little hidden details that I really love.
There's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's something on the menu. It's not listed here, but I think it's like grandma's severed ribs.
Mm.
And I don't understand why it's the grandma when like grandpa is like,
yeah, it should
the
be
visible.
I'll have to look at the menu, because I didn't, yes, it should be, well, okay, so in the original movie it's grandpa is still alive in the one who, but grandma is up in the attic and they have like an altar, a shrine built around her,
but she's bones.
I mean, you can sort of see her ribs. So, I mean, they don't look very tasty.
Why would they? She's sacred. They don't eat her. I need answers, Universal. I need answers. But very excited. I wonder if you'll find any, like, toes in the barbecue. Mm. Like, in the second one, when they go to the contest.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw 2 is my favorite.
Like oh, yeah. By far.
Yes.
But I wish they would do that as a house.
That'd
be my dream.
Bring him back. Also, at the Hill House themed food booth, you can get poison tea if you feel brave enough. It sounds spicy. It's an iced tea and lemonade-based rum punch with mountain huckleberry and allspice notes. I wonder if it will be served in this glass plastic vessel.
I hope not, because that will end badly.
Yes, but very excited. And then they have like hand sandwiches. The hand witch is back with a vengeance, people.
Yep, they're all about the grilled cheese too this year.
Yes, so gear up. I'm super jealous of everyone. I would just go and eat the food. You would know where to find me.
Well, hopefully enough people will be waiting in line for the food that it will make the line for the haunted houses shorter. But I'm
there
not counting
go.
On that.
to celebrate the 50th anniversary as we gear up for October, Disney has announced a television special with ABC News to air on October 1st called The Most Magical Story on Earth, 50 Years of Walt Disney World.
It's going to be hosted by Disney legend Whoopi Goldberg. It's going to cover all sorts of things throughout the history, musical performances from Christina Aguilera, Halle Bailey, in front of the Cinderella Castle. I know these things are pure propaganda. I know it is a 60-minute commercial, but I can't help it. I'm such a sucker for all of these. Going back to my childhood, the ones they had back in the 80s that were so painfully cheesy.
I loved them, though.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, we are suckers.
part of the thing that I'm really looking forward to this is that they're going to have clips from all of the various sitcoms and TV shows that had very special episodes going to Disney World over the years. So that's pretty exciting.
I think the most exciting thing is that they got Michael Eisner.
Yeah. They hauled him back. No reference of any representative whatsoever of the Disney family, but I don't really think that there's anyone left who isn't protesting against them that they could advise.
Yeah, but you'll see all your usual Disney files coming from, like, Anthony Anderson from Blackish on ABC, John Stamos, Marsai Martin, Gary Sinise, Melissa Joan Hart, Candace Cameron Bure for the Full House representation, football players, Kevin Feige, who is a big Disney head, for at least with the parks, Pete Docter, James Cameron, Bob Weiss from Imagineering, and then Chapek, of course. Bob Iger will be there, and then Michael Eisner, which, I mean, he did Imagineering stories, so I'm not as surprised, but I'm still surprised that he's coming.
If they're asking Eisner back, it would be nice if they also asked some of the older Imagineers, like Tony Baxter. It would seem weird to have the 50th anniversary and not have Tony Baxter there.
Yeah, they didn't mention him. I don't recognize Mark or Ann-Mara Johnson.
They pretty once he retired, they pretty much shuffled him off.
Yeah, but you'll be able to watch it on October 1st. It'll be a 2-hour special, 8 to 10 p.m. ABC. 2 hours.
That's like the
propaganda
length of the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh my! Would you rather watch that or this?
That's a coin flip.
If you are like me and you don't have cable, you can view it the next day, October 2nd, on Hulu or on demand, I would assume through like ABC Now, logging in with like a cable login, and it will be added later on in October to Disney Plus. So if you subscribe to that, you'll be able to see it one way or another.
Nice.
Yes. Very excited. I love the Disney TV specials. Yeah, big sucker for those. So can't wait for this.
Of course, it's not going to be filmed live. No, you know, it's all pre-recorded, so we don't have a chance of seeing glorious screw ups like on the grand opening of Disneyland back in 1955. If you watch that whole, you know, you see little clips of that, but if you dig up the whole recording, stuff goes wrong all throughout whole thing. It's like constantly people tripping over wires and camera angles are wrong. It's just brilliantly bad.
I'll have to. I've never watched the whole thing. Like you said, I've just seen clips.
I bought these tin sets. They used to have these collector's boxes with historical footage, and I don't know. Maybe it's all been uploaded to Disney Plus now, but I spent way too much money on DVD box sets that sit rotting on my shelf now. So that's where I saw it.
I no word on if they'll talk about anything in the parks to come, or if this will just be like a reflectionary kind of thing.
I bet you they're going to be talking a whole lot about Ratatouille, which will be opening on that day, and probably Harmonious and the new fireworks show at the Magic Kingdom. I bet we will get some very quick clips that we've probably already seen before of Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy with no firm opening date for either of them.
Yes. Yeah. That's how it works. Yep. Well, if they give us anything more than that, I will be pleasantly surprised.
I will be shocked.
um speaking of new things coming to Walt Disney World, a new mural has been installed over at the Jungle Cruise that officially is the cherry on top, the icing on the cake of the Jungle Cruise enhancements.
Yeah, the majority of the changes to the rides on both Disneyland and Disney World have been completed for a little while. This is sort of a finishing touch, and it kind of ties the whole room together, like Big
like
Lebowski's
rug.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got little references to both Alberta Falls, whose grandfather Albert Falls discovered the backside of water. I don't know if this is maybe a jab at the Fast and Furious ride over at Universal, but there's a little tagline about family. let our family take your family on adventure of a lifetime.
I don't got friends.
It's all about family.
I got family. I really like this mural. I don't know the context of like exactly where it's located. I think it's in the queue.
I think
what Brooke said.
Yeah, I believe it's in the boathouse queue.
But this just makes me want, like, a walk around Alberta Falls to be in the
that
land.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like a
Adventureland
Captain Reg
needs some walk around characters. Absolutely.
Yeah, like how they added Captain Red to Disneyland's Adventureland when they did that Pirates update. I would love to see an Alberta Falls walking around and like recruiting people to be poorly paid skippers.
Another little tidbit that came along with this was that they mentioned that they now regard the Jungle Cruise in Disneyland and Disney World to be one long river that just has a west dock and an east dock. So the next time I am at Jungle Cruise in Disney World, I am going to ask to be dropped off at the West Dock so I can go ride Indiana Jones before I head home. I'm going to see how that works out for me.
You should ask the skipper next time, like, sit close to the front and be like, which way is the West Dock? And then see what they say. And then let us know, because that sounds like a recipe for laughter. Over at Disneyland Paris, Walt Disney Studios Park has kind of rezoned a section of the park and renamed it to
this
better...
This is how you add a new land to your park without actually building a new land.
Yes.
You rebrand. So previously, all these attractions were known as part of Toon Studios at Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris. And now they've broken off all the Pixar-related attractions, which includes the newly rethemed Studio Tour, slapped the World of Pixar name on it, and left three lonely little attractions at the front of the park to be a tiny little runt version of Toon Studios. So this is really kind of... It doesn't really affect the guest experience in the park right now, except they've got a few new Instagram walls that they can take selfies in front of.
Yes.
This is really kind of about setting the stage for the expansion of the park, big expansion with more Marvel and a Frozen area and announced but maybe possibly not happening Star Wars area down the line. And so this sort of will help rebalance the park map in the future. Right now, it doesn't really mean much except for some new signage and logos.
Yes. They did acknowledge Avengers Campus, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that that's on the horizon. They didn't mention the Star Wars thing. So.
Yeah, that was one that, you know, one of those lands. I might file Paris's Star Wars land alongside with, like, the Roger Rabbit land that was supposed to go into Disney Hollywood Studios, you know. Good idea. Probably never going to see it, but...
Well, they weren't even going to get the good ride.
They were just going to get...
Not that it's bad,
Falcon.
But...
Yep.
It certainly isn't what I would want if I were getting a dumbed-down version of Galaxy's Edge. But yes, as for the rides that don't really fit into Worlds of Pixar, mainly Flying Carpets, Animagic Theater, and Animation Celebration, which I think they just revamped, like, not too long ago, with the walkthrough Frozen storytelling thing, unless I'm placing that experience in this building. It was pre-COVID. But those will remain in the Toon Studio section for the moment. Reserving the right to close them later, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, Worlds of Pixar. The merch stands look odd, too. I didn't see that, but I will have to look. An update for those of you keeping up with all of the COVID-19 vaccination requirements and things at the parks. Walt Disney World has come to an agreement with one of the unions that employs cast members in Florida. The Service Trades Council Union has agreed that their cast members will have mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations.
Yep, they've got until October 22nd to provide proof of their COVID vaccination. I believe there is an exception for people who have a legitimate serious medical reason for not doing it, but otherwise they've got till October 22nd to do it or start looking for new employment. And this is a pretty big union, represents more than 30,000 cast members, so across a whole variety. And actually, in addition to this, I believe after we published this a couple days later, Disney came to an agreement with the Actors Equity Union. Basically very similar to, and that should hopefully lead in the not too distant future to getting some more live entertainment back in the parks.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
And this this agreement was announced on the 23rd, and then we will keep updating this and keep you in the know on it to help cast members, though, with complying with this new mandate. Disney will be hosting several weeks of on-site vaccination events, and they have been at Disney Springs, I think, in the Strawberry Lot for cast members and family and friends of those cast members, offering free Pfizer injections. So
say that five times fast.
I can't. So if you're a cast member or you know someone that's a cast member, encourage them to look on the hub if they haven't been vaccinated yet, because Disney is trying to make it as easy as possible for you.
Interesting, Universal is not mandating it. It is mandating that employees declare whether they are vaccinated or not.
Yes.
But is just collecting that information and not necessarily forcing them to get vaccinated. So what they do that with that information is beyond me.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything since that was reported, and that was like a month ago, maybe. And then they, Universal Hollywood specifically, has made some very interesting tweets since then.
Yeah, they need to maybe stay off of social media for a little bit.
Yeah.
They, you know what, it's the problem is that they're jealous because the Universal Orlando social media team is so sharp and so funny and gets such good response that they get jealous, and so they want to be edgy and they want to get attention, and sometimes they don't think before they hit that send button. I feel like there's an intern who has been chewed out quite badly this week by their superiors, and probably feels really bad.
And if you don't know,
I hope they feel bad, honestly, for that tweet.
Yeah, but those tweets were not good. And if you don't know what we're talking about, honestly, good for you.
You're better off.
Stay
off of Twitter.
We are too online. Never tweet. SeaWorld San Antonio, along with a bunch of other SeaWorld parks and resorts, which we'll get into, has announced a new attraction, this one being Tidal Surge, which looks like a nightmare.
Yes, so since this is in your home state, I volunteer you to be the one to ride this, and not it.
Listen, I'm usually pretty gung-ho about any kind of ride. Like, I will do anything once, but I'm nervous about this one. Like, this one, I would actually be like, I don't know if I want to ride that or not.
So here's the interesting thing to me. Okay, apologies to anyone who was not a physics major. So when you build a roller coaster and you build, you know, the tallest and fastest roller coaster, it kind of scales linearly. You know, you a roller coaster that's 10% taller, you know, with gravity, you have a certain speed you're going to reach no matter how tall it gets. But with these swings, you know, when anytime you have a an item swinging at the end of a rope or any length of anything, the longer that is, the more g-forces the person at the end of that is experiencing. So I feel like there's got to be a point at which these swing rides have to start like breaking people's bones. This is really pretty extreme. 135 feet at the peak, getting down to 68 miles an hour. But it's, you know, like I said, it's when you're in a roller coaster, going forward, going straight down something, 68 miles an hour is different than being in a curve with a centripetal force. You know, that's kind of like what astronauts train with in one of those
the spinning, you know, things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're gonna get some pretty serious gray out at the bottom of that arc, I think.
And you want me to go ride it?
Oh, absolutely. This is one's all you.
Possibly break some bones from gravity. Thank you. That's so kind of you.
Yeah, that one kind of terrifies me. I'm
truly scared. I'll probably end up doing it because I'm a sucker, but I'm scared. This one opens in spring 2022 though, so I have some time to steel myself.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
Just grow an adamantium skeleton before then.
I'm gonna need it. Over at SeaWorld San Diego, we finally have an opening window for Emperor, which is...
Yeah, this is the first in three announcements from the SeaWorld and Busch Parks that I think this got a lot of people a little concerned, upset. It's great to know that these rides are finally opening, but March 2022 seems like an awfully long way away for rides that have basically been complete for months now.
Yeah. So this will be the park's newest dive coaster, mm-hmm. opening in March 2022, and will take the title of tallest, fastest, and longest dive coaster in California, and the only floorless dive coaster in the state. So,
which, I mean, it looks a lot like Shikra to me.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit taller, but without the water and nice landscaping around it.
Yeah, it looks a bit barren, doesn't
yep,
it?
Yep. Well, maybe the grass will grow in eventually. It does have a height of 153 feet. You've got that signature drop where you kind of pause suspended right at the top before you drop into that first 143-foot vertical drop. 60-mile-an-hour top speed. So it is definitely an intense coaster.
I remember riding Shikra during a Halloween media event, and it messed mm-hmm. me up. So
that ride in the dark is something else.
And I had scare actors on all sides.
Oh, God.
So, that's an old episode of Early Night Live. If you feel like watching me have a panic attack in a haunted house, and yep, that was a thing. I think there's actually rider cam footage of Vincent and I on that ride too. So. Head to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then after Emperor, we have Icebreaker at SeaWorld Orlando, which is basically finished, as Seth said.
Yeah, I went on a media tour of this like almost a year ago. So this one will be in February. This is more of a family coaster. It's a shuttle coaster with a launch that goes back and forwards. It throws you up a big tall spike and lets you drop into it, but you know, even though it's got a reverse launch and what they say is the steepest beyond vertical drop in Florida, you know, I've watched testing, it doesn't look that bad. This is a good one for the tweens, I think.
Yeah. This one will be opening in February 2022. Mm-hmm. You will sense a trend.
Yes, the bar for the ride has been open now for months.
Yes.
So you can sit there and drink and wait for the next. Wait until February.
Yes. So yeah, this definitely is the tamest, I think, of all mm-hmm. the announcements
Absolutely.
That they came out with this past week.
Yep.
And the height requirement is only 48 inches. So.
Yep.
Keep that in mind for your young ones that say they want to ride a roller coaster and then you take them on this. And then yep. the biggest news, I swear I could hear Clint from Thrill Geek screaming all the way here.
Wait, you
Texas.
Said his name. You might have just summoned him. We'll
it's
see
like
if he
Beetlejuice.
Appears in the chat.
Iron Gwazi finally has an opening window, and it is also March 2022 at Busch Gardens Tampa.
Yeah, again, a really long way off. and just in time for them to get slammed with spring break crowds. But, yes. You know, from everything we've seen of this project, it will hopefully be worth the wait. Gwazi was a very well-intentioned disaster. It was a wooden roller coaster that was really ambitious for its time, but was just painful to ride. And no matter what they did, it never got any less painful. Now it's one of these new hybrid coasters with a mix of wooden track and new steel track laid on top of it. And it's absolutely massive. Dozen airtime moments, 3 inversions, over 4,000 feet of track. But still just a 48-inch height requirement. So if you want to traumatize your 4-foot-tall middle schooler, this is the where this is the place to do it.
76 miles per hour.
This is a 206-foot tall peak, which I believe is this the first coaster in Florida to go over 200 feet. Typically in Florida we keep them at 199 feet, so you don't have to have a blinking light on top. So I'm gonna have to look up in RCDB if this is the first over 200 foot in Florida.
I believe a while back they released like a virtual rendering, or maybe it was real, I can't remember, of a ride-through POV of this a whole year in advance.
Yep.
But I'm super
excited.
No, I
think they've just been testing it for that long. I mean,
yeah.
Was it testing or was it just they weren't paying their contractors? that was an issue. They did get sued, I believe. There were some issues with bills not being paid. I'm sure all of that has been cleaned up now.
Yes.
And the ride will be perfectly safe by the time it officially opens in March.
Well, you will have to let us know a comparison of how smooth or painful it is in comparison to the original Gwazi, because I never got to ride it.
There's no way it could compete on the painful level. Like,
was it that bad?
It was rough. It started out not too bad, and they did a rehab of it a few years before it went extinct that made it better for about 6 months. But it was like no matter what they did, it was either the wheels on the cars or the track, just it could not stay smooth.
Yeesh. Well, yeah. Keep an eye on that one. We'll be waiting a while. And our last bit of news in the queue for this week, Universal Beijing Resort has been doing some testing, but it will officially open to invited guests for trial operations on September 1st.
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of videos leaking out of this. They have been having, I don't know what they call, stress test sessions. I'm not sure exactly what the phrase, how it translates from Chinese. But basically, you know, employee, friends, and family testing has been going on. And if you search around on YouTube, you can find some videos, especially of the new Jurassic World ride. This park was not really high on my radar, you know, when I'm planning my theoretical trip to Asia. You know, I want to go to Shanghai, I want to go to Tokyo, I want to go to Osaka. Beijing wasn't necessarily on my list until I saw the video of that Jurassic World ride.
Yeah.
And it does, it recreates that moment that we have wanted to see in a theme park ride since the first Jurassic Park movie, which is where you are driving and looking behind you, and there is a full-size dinosaur chasing after you. You know, Dinosaur tried to do that with the Carnotaurus, where he kind of lunges forward about 2 feet on the days that the sled actually feels like working. Other rides have done it with, like, video and stuff, but you got to look up this YouTube video. I need to see this in person to see how they have a full-sized Indominus Rex basically chasing you around a corner. For about 10 seconds, your vehicle is just moving away from him, and he is keep coming after you. It's even more amazing than the rolling boulder scene at the end of the Indiana Jones adventure. It's just such an amazing effect, and I'll fly to China just to ride that ride.
I can imagine when that video came out and you were like planning your theoretical trip, and you were just like, "Dang it, I have to spend more money now."
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, the dinosaur ride at Animal Kingdom is like a traumatic experience for me. It's really scary. I don't like animatronics.
You don't like being
that can...
trapped in a big black warehouse with a few flashing lights and
I don't like that they look like they can walk toward you, so the fact that this one actually can
is exactly.
going to be horrifying for me.
Yeah.
But man, I'm so excited. As for people who actually get to go during this like test and adjust period, it will be invited guests, so I assume like Chinese media.
Don't just show up.
Yeah, no. If you don't get an invite, don't go. They will be doing all sorts of COVID-19 preventative measures, masks, sanitization, hand sanitizer stations, all of that jazz. And they will only have selected rides, attractions, shows, and dining locations throughout the theme park and the two resort hotels available for guests to test out and enjoy. No concrete opening date just yet, but I wouldn't call this a soft open either because it's invited.
But it's getting close. Definitely getting close. And all the stuff that I've seen, a couple other attractions, there's a new Kung Fu Panda boat ride, which looks cute. A lot of projection mapping. And a How to Train Your Dragon stage show with some really amazing stage effects. A lot of the rides, like the Harry Potter Forbidden Journey, is basically an exact clone of what we have in California. There's enough unique stuff there that it's on my list now.
Yeah, and it's a great primer for what Epic Universe could be like in some form or fashion, you know, when, if that ever happens.
It's happening.
It's
happening.
It's still dirt.
But the dirt is moving. The dirt is not sitting still. The dirt is moving.
There are piles of dirt.
There are piles of dirt, and then there are other piles of dirt, and then the piles become different. It's happening.
You should become the bio-reconstruct of the dirt piles.
No. There can only be one bio.
Well, before we get to our main attraction this week, let's get a quick word from our sponsor.
Let's do it.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction is, well, I didn't think it was that controversial until a certain vlogger did a certain thing, which we will not discuss because it's drama. But Disney Cruise Line is officially requiring all passengers ages 12 and older to be fully vaccinated for Bahamian cruises, which are the only cruises that they're offering right now.
Right. And this isn't just cruises that actually go to, like, the island of Nassau in the Bahamas, but it also includes their private island, Disney Castaway Cay, which is good to note because the Disney Dream recently changed all their itineraries. They are not going to Nassau in the Bahamas. They are only going to Castaway Cay. Castaway Key.
I do the same thing. It's
okay. They're only going Castaway Cay, and in some of their cruises, you're getting two visits to Castaway Cay and then days at sea. Even though it is their own private island, the Bahamian government's rule still applies. This is interesting because this kind of, Norwegian was the only cruise line that really took the Florida government to court. Over the ability to make sure everyone was vaccinated. The state of Florida had originally prohibited that kind of restriction. And Norwegian won in court, but Disney didn't kind of jump on this until the Bahamas kind of made them. And I kind of got the feeling that Disney would have kept going with their original system, which was that you could go unvaccinated if you took tests and paid for insurance and stuff. But once the government of the Bahamas put this restriction down and they couldn't get around it, you know, if they want to use Castaway Key, that it's got to be. So they're going to enforce it whether the governor of Florida likes it or not.
Yep. So this new rule applies to vaccines like the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and the J&J. And they have rules on what makes someone fully vaccinated or not, which is getting both doses of your Moderna, Pfizer, or AstraZeneca, and then 14 days after your final dose means you're fully vaccinated. So if you get your final dose like 2 days before your embarkation date, sorry, that sucks for you. And then the single dose Johnson & Johnson 2 weeks after that. Apparently you can mix vaccines, which is something I learned from this, which I did not know.
I think the Moderna and Pfizer are very similar in the way they act. So they're kind of interchangeable, but you can't combine a Moderna with an AstraZeneca.
Yeah. And then you have to upload your proof of vaccination to the Safe Passage by Inspire website, which is the same sort of COVID-19 monitoring system that they used in the rules previously, no later than 24 hours before you're due to set sail. And if you don't provide proof, you will not be allowed to board, and that will really suck for you.
Yep. In addition to that, any kids under the age of 12 who are not eligible yet to get the vaccine have to prove that they have a negative test taken between 1 and 5 days before the sailing. And they're also going to have to take a second test and be charged for it right there at the cruise terminal before they get in.
Yeah, those PCR tests are on your dime.
Yep.
So
so if you have kids under 12, this might not be the best time to plan a cruise. All of these rules right now are from September 3rd, which is just a couple days away, and go through November 1st. It could be extended past then, we don't know.
Yeah. And if these rules are kind of like a deal breaker for you, Disney is letting folks modify or cancel their cruises without any fees by contacting your travel agent prior to September 3rd. So if you have a cruise coming up, you're getting down to the wire for moving your dates around. And then cancellations from like third-party suppliers, airlines, your travel insurance, those aren't refundable, yada, yada, yada. So,
I mean, hopefully, we had a question in the comments about the Disney Wish. Hopefully by June of 2022, this will be in our rear view mirror, please. I've got a cruise
planned, you just booked one not too long ago.
Like February of 2022, and I don't want to jump through these hoops, but it's not looking. I'm not making any plans. You know, I'm taking a day at a time.
I mean, you're fully vaccinated, so you won't have to worry about the exorbitant travel insurance and such.
Though who knows? By then, we might have to have a booster. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows?
Which one did you get? I guess it doesn't matter.
I think I got the Moderna.
Okay. I got the Johnson & Johnson one.
Yeah, no, I did the double, because that's what they were doing at the convention center.
I didn't get to pick, but I was told after the fact I got the Walmart of the choice.
The Walmart. As opposed to Target?
Yes, you got the Target, I think, and I got the Walmart. But yeah, I'm really interested to see how this will affect the launch of the Disney Wish. I've never been on a cruise, so I don't really know what like the muster things and like getting on the ship that first day is like.
Well, I think a lot of those things on the Disney boats are changing right now, because it used to be that you had to line up for a physical muster, and I think they're going to a digital system. Where you can do a lot of those things that you used to have to do in person, you'll be able to do through the smartphone app.
Honestly, that sounds better.
Yeah. Muster was always a really weird, awkward. It was like taking roll call in school, and you just sort of stand there awkwardly waiting for something to happen, and they're like, all right, it's over, now go.
All right.
Yeah, it was always a little weird. But, well, you know, safety first.
Yes, always safety first.
And honestly, you know, if these rules are still in effect by the time I cruise, I will probably feel safer knowing that everyone around me has been vaccinated.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I'm sure there are people who say, I am not going to go on a cruise if this is the rule. And I think there are an equal number of people who will be happy to fill their spaces on that boat if they don't want to go. They'll be happy to go instead of them.
Yep, that does seem like the case.
I don't think they'll have any trouble filling these ships once they're back up to capacity.
Especially not the Disney Wish with all of the amenities it's promising. Oh, my goodness. But that's everything that we had for this
week. That's it, and we came in like seconds under an hour. That's
awesome. Professionals. And this week, I have some listener thank yous to share.
Yay!
So, in case you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription plan. If you pick Club or VIP when you subscribe the week after you join us, you get a shout-out here on the podcast from yours truly and Seth. So this week, we are giving big applause and crowd to Janet Thomas and Roderick Herman. Thank you so much. Claps. I don't want to blow out my mic. And if you are interested, our summer issue is available now at attractionsmagazine.com/store, and our fall issue is on the way. So get those subscriptions in. And make sure you get your full issue, because there's some cool stuff in there this time around.
Did you write anything for this issue? I did.
I have 2 columns every issue. So if you would
that,
like to...
That alone is worth a subscription, folks.
Well.
And this is where I slide in and very smoothly thank our sponsor once again, Destinations with Character Travel. Please go ahead and check them out. And while you're using your web browser, also head on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating for this podcast. Please leave us a review. Please share the good news about the Attractions Magazine and our podcast with everyone on the internet. And speaking of internet, I will not be here next week or the week after. You'll have some very special guest hosts to entertain you. But you can still find me online at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at the UG Series, or on Instagram at theunofficialguides. And Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLES. It's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.